Welcome, Green Future Growers, Progressive Radio Network listeners, and anybody who's new to the show. I'm your host, Jackie Marie Beyer, and let's get growing. Hey, listeners. So, have you gotten your copy of the Garden Journal and Data Keeper? There's no date on it, so you can get one. You can still get one while you're harvesting, because I decided that I'm going to keep mine, call mine my accomplishments journal, and go back and fill in based on my pictures and a lot of the things I'm just proud of that I did get done this year. But if you haven't, you might want to get started for next year. So you can get the 2018 journal on sale, I think, for... I think it's first like $8.95, and the regular journal for harvest, we're having a special. It's on sale for $12.95. So if you want to get the blank one that doesn't have any dates that you could start filling in from today forward, it's on sale for $12.95 on Amazon, and you could get the 2018 one on sale for $8.95. Yeah, that's how it works.
And then different stuff, huh? Oh, yeah. Pause and stop. And then, great. Well, welcome to the Organic Podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yes. And this is Patty Armbruster being a guest host, and if not hosted before, but I'm excited to be doing it. And, we are sharing some time.
Rohan.
So go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name's Rohani Fuchs. I am co-founder of The Farmer's Hand, which is a primarily local being Michigan grown, Michigan made gourmet market and takeout counter called The Farmer's Hand, which is located in Detroit in the state of Michigan.
Wow, exciting. That's fantastic. I am actually from Michigan.
Lovely.
I'm from a very rural, or used to be rural, community in between Detroit and Chicago. So out on a farm I was raised.
Oh, okay.
So
great.
That's fantastic, because Michigan can grow most anything.
Yeah, which is surprising to me as somebody who's obviously not native to the area. I was really, really intrigued to find out that we have such a big agricultural industry here in Michigan.
Yes, yeah. I think it's that and tourism probably is your top ones, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Cool. And so where did you come from and how did you end up in Detroit?
I am originally from Australia. My business partner was born and raised in Detroit. We have both lived in multiple cities, either here in America or myself overseas also. And my husband is originally from Detroit, hence myself being here. I met my business partner, Kiki Luya, in Detroit at a time when we were both looking to open a very similarly thought out local market in the city of Detroit. And that's kind of what led us to The Farmer's Hand and beginning that venture together.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
But it's exciting working with somebody with common interests.
Absolutely, definitely. It always helps.
And so, which part of the business do you prefer?
I guess I'd want you to clarify that question a little bit. There are so many parts to it.
walk me through a day that you really enjoy.
I think for the market side of things, we also own a restaurant that we recently opened in the same block. So that's kind of a new part to what we do logistically day to day. But the market side of things are definitely, I would say, delivery days. We work with a lot of local farmers and producers. So there are a couple of days a week that we get big flushes of beautiful local produce coming in, and it's just really lovely to interact with the farmers and see all that produce come in and then watch it walk out the door after it's just been, you know, harvested not so long ago with customers that are, I guess, loyal to supporting the ecosystem that exists here in the, around the world, of course, in terms of eating local food and supporting local farmers. So, yeah, that's a really lovely part of what we do.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I love to just hang out with farmers, really, and find out what they're doing and what they're growing. And that's fantastic. And then making the connection with the food to the final consumer is also just as grand.
Yeah.
So can you tell us about your first garden experience?
My personal first garden?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I guess my first garden would have been back in Australia. My mother introduced me to gardening at a really young age, I would say, and got into it later on in life in a bigger scale, a grander scale. So, yeah, I grew up in a very temperate climate back in Australia where you can grow things pretty much year round. And when I mean things, I mean most everything. So, you know, we're talking tropical fruits like mangoes and passion fruit and bananas and pawpaw. My mum often had pawpaw trees in the garden, lemongrass, things that are going crazy now like finger limes and kaffir lime and citrus, all different types of citrus. So yeah, I think that I've always been interested in food. I am a chef by trade as well. So seeing that cycle of food growing and harvested and then prepared is really intriguing to me. And I later went on to have my own small gardens in homes that I've lived in over the years. But then after moving to Michigan, my husband and I for a very short period owned a 10-acre farm, and I farmed a small lot of that land just for our own purposes and also for sharing with friends and family. And we had a dozen chickens that we reared on the property, and we have a couple of children who were very into that as well. So, I've had a little bit of experience with farming alongside the business side of it as well.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I bet the kids loved it.
Yeah. I think it's really important to expose children, preferably at a young age, to I guess, where our food comes from and what it looks like and how it grows. And I think it can help to excite them at a young age, and also just introduce and educate them about growing and how important it is to eat healthy food that can be easily grown in your backyard. Mm-hmm.
For sure, and get them eating it at a young age where they enjoy it and it becomes part of their life habits. It's fantastic.
Absolutely, yeah.
So can you tell us about something that you grew well? It says this year, but if you're not growing this year, I would think it any year.
Yeah, I'd say this year has been a little bit difficult. Like I mentioned, we opened a second business, which is a restaurant attached to the market. So that is in its very, very early days. We're only a few months into the opening of that. So I actually, and along with that, I also renovated and moved into a new home here in the city. And so I am really learning about my soil, number one, and how the sun hits my garden throughout the course of a day, and just trying to get settled into my new house. So I haven't grown a huge amount this year, but in previous years I am and have always been addicted to tomatoes. It was very shocking how poor the tomato quality is for, I'd say, most part of the year here in Michigan due to, you know, lack of access and local growing. So throughout the course of the growing season here, I try to grow a lot of nightshades in general, but particularly tomatoes. And I'm not sure if it's some kind of innate passion for them or excitement about them, but I tend to grow them really well. Yeah, I've had a lot of success with them. I always have my soil tested through the Michigan State University Extension Program here in Michigan, and I think that's probably pretty helpful as well.
Nice. And then so do you use organic amendments or whatever if it needs amended?
Yeah, I do. So I'll always wait for that report to come back and then try to decipher it as best I can. They can be a little bit tricky to read, but there's always hotlines you can call into. And yeah, I do my own at-home composting, and I've found compost tea to be incredibly beneficial to my garden over the years, as long as you're, you know, keeping the right balance. And then I will look to organic supplements if I feel, or if I notice, you know, my garden needs a little bit of a boost in the spring or the fall. And aside from that, I try to, you know, really keep it to itself. I try not to fuss with my garden too much. Something that my mother taught me a long time ago was that most people feel like their gardens are imperfect if things don't look trimmed. Right. A garden doesn't necessarily need to look pretty to produce really beautiful fruits and fruits of your labor. Essentially, it can look kind of scraggly and still be doing exactly what it should be doing. So I try not to fuss too much.
Nice, that's fantastic. I do regenerative agriculture and gardening, so it can look quite natural and sometimes a little wild, but
yeah,
the plants love it.
Yeah, I think there's something about that that keeps me just mentally grounded too. It's not this sort of pristine, manicured looking garden, but rather something that looks a little bit wild and untouched. And to me, that feels good. It feels natural. It's calming in a way, I guess.
Yeah. Well, you kind of feel part of it, you know, just connected to nature better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what's your favorite variety of tomato?
I don't. That would be way too hard for me to identify, because I love all kinds of tomatoes. I love green tomatoes for chutney and for frying. I think the thing with tomatoes and me, and probably most people, is their application. So I love paste tomatoes when paste tomatoes come in. And certainly, on a side note, something that I've learnt here in Michigan is the need to preserve and the need to, you know, can and freeze product throughout the year. So when paste tomatoes come in, I tend to, you know, do a fair bit of canning and freezing, and I love that for use throughout the winter period. But then in season, I mean, brandy wines are always really lovely. I love cherries, sun golds in salads and things like that. My young daughter has become accustomed to eating them straight off the vine, which is lovely. Even the bigger ones. I do tend to opt for heirloom variety tomatoes. I guess with the increase of seed saving and, you know, the different types of, not just tomatoes, but seeds that we now see and have access to through online shopping as well, and mail delivery, of course, it's really nice to, I guess, play around with over the years, the different types of heirloom tomatoes that have popped up around the world, and again through access through online shopping, which I don't think, you know, we've always necessarily had access to.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Well, is there anything that you do different next year, or anything you want to try new?
Yeah, I think, like I said, this is our first year in our new property, and I think it's really important to give yourself some time to really get a feel for how you're garden likes to grow and where things tend to grow better. We're a few months into the growing, so, well, not a few months, only a couple, I'd say, here in Detroit. And I've already had to move a couple of things in terms of positioning around my own property. So I think next year I have a combination currently of raised beds as well as in the ground, fruits and vegetables and herbs, etc. I think I might actually do a little more raised gardening next year. I'm finding some of my summer squash and some of the greens that I grew this year aren't doing so well direct sown into the ground. So I think I might try a little bit of raised gardening next year and see how that goes. I think it might help to be able to control the soil a little bit more, just because I don't think that the soil that I have has been taken care of too much over the years. It seems to be a bit neglected. It needs a little bit of love. So I think I might go about doing a bit of composting and, trying to feed the soil up a little bit so that I can direct sow in the years to come. So,
What do you think is your least favorite activity in the garden?
In the garden? My least favorite activity? I don't know. That's a hard question. I find gardening pretty therapeutic. So even if it's the tedium of weeding, I think I've found a love for that, because it's repetitive and it seems to calm me a little bit. Maybe the least, my least favorite thing to see is when fall's coming to an end and winter's hitting and everything begins to die. That's never fun. I think the cleanup in spring can also be a bit difficult if you haven't done a nice amount of cleanup in the fall. I tend to get very bad allergies, both in the fall and the spring. Again, something new to me in gardening, especially since moving to Michigan, very bad allergies. So I've learnt to try to do as much as I can in the fall in preparations for the following spring, so it doesn't hit me too badly. I guess that's not a favourite necessarily, the big cleanups.
Yeah. Doing regenerative gardening, some stuff I leave. I'm in a dry climate where you're in a wetter climate. Some stuff I leave to catch snow, but other stuff I cut up and just drop it in place to make a living mulch to feed the microbes over the winter.
Right.
Then come spring, there's not much left. So.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, what is your favorite activity?
In the garden, I would say there are lots of things. I think when spring hits, it's really exciting to go out and see what's on sale at the farmers market. I like to buy from local farmers, so seedlings that are reared by local farmers. It's always nice to see what they've started new each year. And I really do enjoy in the depth of winter flipping through catalogs, seed catalogs. I have a number of them on pre-order every year. And they tend to bring a little bit of excitement in the depth of winter and something to look forward to for the spring. So I tend to kind of plan out my planting cycle and how I'm going to succession plant that year and bookmark or earmark, should I say, all of the new seeds and old favourites that I'd like to buy. That's always nice. And then, like I said, the farmers markets will start up and it's nice to see what local farmers are starting and growing and selling in terms of things that I can put into the ground. And then also, without a doubt, I really love to harvest fruits and vegetables with my children. I think that's a really special moment to share with them. And while it's nice to do it by yourself as well, I think it's really lovely being able to share that with someone else, especially my kids.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
What do you think is your best gardening advice for other people?
My best gardening advice. Let me see. Well, I think there'd be a couple of things. Personally, I really had to learn my environment. And I think that, as I mentioned before, Michigan State University, I know a lot of states around the country have extension programs through their state universities or colleges that will provide a lot of information, if not soil testing. So you can, you know, request a little packet that comes in the mail, scoop up a little bit of soil from around your garden or your property in different places, and then send it off, and they'll have it professionally analyzed and send you back some feedback as to how you need to amend or take care of, nourish your soil for optimal growing conditions. That's been very, very helpful for me locally as somebody that's not familiar with this growing landscape. Over the course of a few decades, I've only been here for about, 7 years. So I think that, really taking the time to understand your soil and your growing conditions in general is sort of the foundation of setting you up to grow successfully versus just chucking a bunch of stuff in the ground and hoping for the best.
Right. Cool.
Yeah.
What do you think is your favorite tool?
My favorite tool. Oh, well, you know, I'd say in all honesty, my hands. There are certainly a bunch of tools out there that help with things like weeding and, killing the ground if you're into tilling, but there's nothing like the intricacies, the delicacies that your fingers and your hands can get into and, twine and dig up and dig out. I much prefer to use my hands as much as possible. So I don't know if that's a cliche answer, but it's true.
Yeah, I too. I just love using my hands. I own some gloves, but I rarely put them on for any reason.
Yeah. I just find them to be more. I feel like I have more control, of course, for obvious reasons.
Mm-hmm. Well, so since you did move 6 or 7 years ago, what was the main tool that you did bring with you?
The main tool that I brought with me, you're from Australia for gardening, do you mean?
Yeah.
I didn't bring any physical tools with me, and I'd say that's only because most of my stuff went into a shipping container and didn't arrive for months afterwards. But books have been really helpful to me. I have carried a lot of information. I think my gardening books. And also journals. I keep a lot of seasonal journals as to how, you know, I plan out my gardens and the rotation of garden beds and what I plant together. I'd say books.
Nice. That's good. So, wow, since you're a professional cook, this might be a hard question. What's your favorite recipe?
Oh, wow. That is very difficult, but I guess I'll stick with something tomato, given how much I love tomatoes. I would say something along the lines of a panzanella salad, where you're taking some old bread and cooking it up in the oven with a little bit of olive oil and some big, beautiful, fresh tomatoes, combination of tomatoes too, not just one type, but a few different types. And just really simply tossing with a little bit of salt, a few herbs from the garden, any kind of herbs. Often people limit themselves to just basil. I'd throw basil, mint, chives, you know, a little bit of fresh thyme into a bowl. And, that's keeping it simple and plain so that the flavors of those in-season, beautiful, warm tomatoes come through. Perfect. That's me.
So you warm the tomatoes?
Warm off the vine, I guess, is what I mean. I don't like to put tomatoes into the refrigerator. I like to keep them on the counter and eat them before they, you know, perish. I feel, and I believe there's science to back me up on this, when you put tomatoes into the fridge, it can deteriorate that the flavor of them, and it tends to halt the ripening as well. So there's something, I think there's a lot to be said for eating a room temperature tomato, whether it's in season or not, preferably in season, of course, versus a tomato that comes out of the refrigerator. I always keep my tomatoes on my countertop and eat them as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I think that is too. I think they just taste a lot better.
Yeah.
What's your favorite internet resource?
Favorite internet resource. Let me see. There are a great deal. I don't know about favorite. I think, though, my go-to would be maybe Rare Seeds. I find a lot of helpful information there. Otherwise, just searching generally for companion planting. I do like to do a lot of companion planting, but often, you know, I'll either forget what should be planted together. So I'll do a little bit of Google research about, you know, what kinds of herbs are beneficial to different fruits and vegetables. But Rare Seeds is definitely a go-to for me for both sourcing, excuse me, but also for general information.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I love companion planting, and as I let more stuff go to seed, I kind of let them start deciding what they like. In fact, I have some plants that move away from where I did put them to a different location. And I'm like, well, I guess that's where you need to be.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I tend to do that quite a fair bit to kind of see what works best.
Do you have a favorite book or internet website?
I think in terms of books, I have, I have quite a number of books. Not too long ago, I was given Carrots Love Tomatoes, which is an interesting guide on companion planting. To be honest, I tend to read a lot more recipe books than I do gardening books, given my cooking background. But I say that, No, Carrots Love Tomatoes has been a nice introduction to companion planting, and it's a nice resource to turn to throughout the seasons as I put things into the ground, cold crops, hot crops, etc. Just, it's a nice little go-to. Carrots Love Tomato.
Cool. Yeah, I just got that book this summer.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So do you have any business advice for other people that either want to get started in the industry in any way? Because the industry is huge.
I guess our business is a multifaceted. So is there something specific that you would like me to talk to?
Well, it says about selling extra produce, but I think you got way more expertise on marketing.
I could definitely talk to the selling extra produce, which is an interesting thing for us. We are on, I guess, the direct-to-consumer side of that retail. So if folks are in the business of small-scale farming, urban farming, or even medium to large-scale farming, I think that the way that consumers are accessing produce, and especially local produce these days, is diversifying immensely. We're not just going to the farmers market anymore to access local produce. And in fact, farmers markets are tending to, I think, for consumers to become a little more inconvenient, in that they're only once a week throughout, you know, certain times of the year at certain times of that particular day. So as a consumer, it's not necessarily convenient to confine yourself to that time frame to go often to a very busy farmers market to access beautiful local produce. You can now, of course, go to many large-scale chain grocery stores to find local produce highlighted. Now, that said, it obviously doesn't return a very high profit margin back to the farmer, the person that's actually growing our food product. Kiki and I opened a non-traditional model of direct-to-consumer local access through the farmer's hand here in Detroit, where we work directly with local farmers who come in to drop off their product. We work on consignment, essentially, with them. So they're setting their own price point for their own product. We take care of that product and put it into cold refrigeration or onto the shelves for consumers to come in and purchase. And then we return a much higher profit margin back to back to the farmers for all of the product that's sold. So in terms of giving advice on how to, you know, sell more product or how to get more product out there, as somebody who does that on behalf of farmers, I think there are a lot of different ways in which small-scale farmers can get their product out there now and get more sold. Obviously, on top of that, there are restaurants. There are a lot of restaurants, cafes, coffee shops, etc., looking for local produce to put onto their menus, and that's another really lovely way to sell more product as well.
Yeah, that's good advice. We've got about 7 minutes left before this computer says our time is up. So our final question is, if there was one thing that you could change to make it a greener or create a greener world, what would it be?
I think it would be looking closer to home for not just food, but for many of our needs. I feel that we are way over packaging, over transporting product. If we're just, you know, if we confine it just to product, not necessarily services, we live in such a connected, globalized world nowadays, and I have no problem with that. Of course, I am a product of that. I just think that there are ways in our everyday life that we can think globally, act locally. Wait, maybe it's the other way around. we interact in a global world, but I think that we can look to our own backyards and our own surroundings often for our immediate needs rather than, you know, looking beyond that. And I think a lot of people are, which is why we're becoming so fascinated with our own gardens and sourcing locally and being interconnected with our immediate community. So I think that that's very important on a number of levels, and I think that it will help to increase the how we become greener on a lot of levels.
Great advice.
Yeah.
There's a lot of waste in the food stream right now.
Yeah, and I think that
overpackaging, for sure.
Overpackaging, logistics is a big issue as well, of course. You know, when we look at some of the transportation measures for the simplest of things, such as sugar, it's pretty crazy how far our sugar travels to get to us. And oftentimes you can find it, maybe a little bit more expensive, but you can find it grown and processed in your own backyard, being your own state or your own country. So, yeah, I think there are definitely ways we can be more conscious.
Do you have an inspiring tip or quote that might motivate their listeners to reach out and start a garden?
An inspiring quote or tip. Oh my goodness. Well, I don't know how inspiring this is, but I think that gardening can be really empowering, both mentally, in its physical form, in terms of the fruit of your labor, but also emotionally. It's really a beautiful thing to put your hands in the earth and watch a seed grow into a plant to bear fruit that you can put on your plate. As somebody that hasn't always had the blessing of having a small grocery now and also a restaurant connected to that, I've certainly been in a situation where I've not had the ability to put everything I've wanted to onto my plate, but it's amazing what you can grow in your own backyard and what you can put on your own plate by just taking a little bit of time to put a seed into the ground. It's really a beautiful thing. So, yeah, try it. Try it out.
Well said. Well, I have thoroughly enjoyed visiting with you, and I know our listeners are going to
thank you.
Get a lot of things from it. How can we stay connected with you and how can they get a hold of you?
Yeah. So again, my name's Rohani Fuchs and my business partner, Kiki Luya, and I own The Farmer's Hand, a local market and takeout counter here in Detroit. It's located in Corktown on the corner of Bagley and Trumbull. We also own a restaurant named Folk Detroit, which is attached to the market and emphasizes the use of local produce in offering wholesome all-day brunch products. We have Facebook sites, we have Instagram sites, and of course we have web pages. So again, that's The Farmer's Hand and Folk Detroit.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much. And the Organic Podcast is going to be thrilled to run your podcast and look forward to visiting with you down the road. And if I get back into Michigan, I'm going to look you up.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. Come on through. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Hey, listeners. So, have you gotten your copy of the Garden Journal and Data Keeper? There's no date on it, so you can get one. You can still get one while you're harvesting, because I decided that I'm going to keep mine, call mine my accomplishments journal, and go back and fill in based on my pictures and a lot of the things I'm just proud of that I did get done this year. But if you haven't, you might want to get started for next year. So you can get the 2018 journal on sale, I think, it's first like $8.95, and the regular journal for harvest, we're having a special, it's on sale for $12.95. So if you want to get the blank one that doesn't have any dates that you could start filling in from today forward, it's on sale for $12.95 on Amazon, and you could get the 2018 one on sale for $8.95. Yeah, that's how it works. Hey there, green future growers. Would you like your friends and neighbors to create an organic oasis too? Would you like others in your area to learn about earth-friendly practices for their gardens and yards? If so, we would love it if you would share the Organic Gardener podcast with your local community or college radio station today. Thanks again for listening, and remember, grow local.